then, of course, your father is in many businesses,
yes.
Let's put it that way. But let's talk about the car business. And
well,
she laughs because she's...
And I laugh because it's overwhelming. Okay, so my dad was able to buy a car for $75. And when he went to the University of Oklahoma, it was a little American Austin Healey, a 35, something like that. These are little bitty cars. Two-seater, open, of course. Painted it crimson and red for OU. And then when he finished college and married my mother, he got a car in the grocery business. He gave that car to his brothers so that they could also go to OU. And then when they graduated, he took that car over to Little Rock, Arkansas. And that car, every day at 4 o'clock, Bozo the Clown would drive it out, and he'd jump out of that car for the Bozo the Clown show that was live on air in Little Rock at KATV every day. And then it retired and it sits in our garage at our office at this time. So, but because he was born on a farm, you had to be a mechanic. You had to be able to fix things, your tractors, your this, your that. So Daddy loved anything that had a motor. He wasn't interested in sailing. He was interested in a cruiser. He wasn't interested. He wanted a car. He wanted an airplane. And he was lucky enough when he was a child that he was always interested in aviation. And so there was a company or a man that came through with a plane, and for a certain amount of money you could go up and take a flight in it. So Daddy had to do it. He just had to do it. Well, then he would help the guy get people so that they would pay the 5 cents or whatever to go take a ride around. So they did that, and he always said he was going to get a plane one day. But the kids, when my uncles, my aunt, my dad, when they were done with all their chores on the farm, they would sit there by that old stone school right on the corner of what later became Route 66. At that time it was a dirt road, and they'd watch the cars pass, and they'd count the cars and what kind of cars, and they were going to, by gosh, one day they were going to get one of those cars. And Daddy always said he was going to have a car. And so they finally, of course, as life goes on, his dad managed to get a car. My grandfather, Lake, had worked for Magnolia Oil Company all of his life, 12 on, 12 off, until Roosevelt put in the 40-hour work week. And then he was a farmer like they all were. And Daddy, as a salesman, would go from place to place, and he'd see an old car sitting out there, and he'd say, "What are you going to do with that old car?" And they'd say, "Well, I don't know, this old piece of junk." And Daddy'd say, "Well, I'll give you X amount of dollars for it." And he'd take it to the Griffin warehouse nearby, and he'd just park it in there. Well, then, as transportation became better, and train service and trailer service became better, you didn't need as many of these warehouses. So they started consolidating. All these little towns had these little warehouses, and he had to get rid of these cars. So Mother said, "Now, Jimmy, you're just not going to bring all those cars and just set them in the yard up here." And so Daddy thought, "Well, what am I going to do with these?" So he came up with the idea in 64. So I don't know how old I was at that time, but I wasn't very old. And they said, "We're going to have an auction out on this piece of property we own out on Shawnee Bypass in Muskogee." We had a building out there. And so he gathered up his cars, and he said, "Well, we've got to find somebody to do it." Nobody had done an auction of cars, antique cars or old cars, at that time. And so he went over to England, and he got a auction house, Park Bernay, to come over here. It's now Sotheby's Park Bernay. I don't even know if they keep the Park Bernay anymore. And they came over, and first it was, I think, Ward Landergan may have done the very first one out of New York. And he came, and on the back of one of the Griffin's groceries flatbed trucks, we just out in the grass. And I mean, we had made, mother had us sit at night and we made hamburgers and froze them. And then that day, we had people cook the hamburgers and a couple of us ran the soda fountain. We had a soda fountain thing set up and chips and different things. And we had our first auction in 1964. And everybody, of course, worked. It's family business. You have to work. And Daddy, I have some pictures of it. And some of the people who became lifelong friends of my parents came over from Europe for it and everything because they wanted those beautiful old cars that were not worth anything. And that day, Daddy sold he sold a Duesenberg and two Cords and made $10,000 on the three of them. And he said, by gosh, I have tripled my money. And so we counted the funds from the concession stand. And we made $640. We went, we are so rich. What are we going to do? And we all looked at each other in the house and we all said, let's go to Mexico. So my brothers got in a four-door Lincoln, you know, with a suicide doors. We had three of those, and they drove down. We just said, we're all going to meet in Acapulco. And so because Daddy had become friends with J. Paul Getty, and there he had a resort down there in Acapulco, and we were going to go stay there. So we took the time. Mother had loved bright colors, and he had bought her a hot pink 54 Cadillac, a hot pink limousine. My sister said, thank God we were young and didn't know enough to be embarrassed. But it, the brake failed and it ran into the lake. So he had to get a new one. So he got a lipstick red Cadillac limousine, 1964, I think. And they had the sort of pointed fins on the back. And we drove from Muskogee, Oklahoma, all the way down. We stopped Mexico City, and then we went on to Guadalajara, and then we went to Tosco, and then we went down to Acapulco, where everybody met up, and we all had a great time down there, and that beautiful red Cadillac. But he'd gotten the bug, and as a small child, even when we lived in our first house, or my first house on Boston, he would come home with an old fire truck, and he'd say, everybody get on board the fire truck, we're going to drive through town. And he'd run that siren on it. And then the police came and said, you just can't drive around town in a fire truck. People think there's a fire someplace. And we were all hanging off of it. So he always had a car. You never knew what you were going to drive, what he was going to take you to school in. It could be a 54 Chevy, or it could be a Rolls Royce. But he became to love Rolls Royce for their mechanics. And so in 64, he said, Marge, I'm going to go over this sale over in England. And I'm not going to buy anything, but I'm just going to look. And so over he went, and about 4 days later, mother goes in for breakfast, and there in the front page of the newspaper is a photo of my father with his hands over his head and standing in a 1911 Rolls Royce built for the Maharaja of Mysore, who used it to hunt tigers in India. And he had bought it, and it said, highest price ever paid for a car at auction of $24,000. And Daddy has his hands up like this. All the men are in pork pie hats. You can just see them there in their thin ties and everything. And he brought this car back and documented when they unloaded it and all of this. That car ran like a dream, but that was became the love of his car. And he at one time had the largest private collection of Rolls Royces in the world. And he loved those early Maharaja cars, but he loved all early cars. He loved steam engines. He loved the Stanley steamers. We raced those in England for years in the Brighton Run. ABC did two sports programs. Emmy goes to Brighton, and when they documented Irish guy or Scottish, he was wonderful. Anyway, he's driving Emmy from London to Brighton, and that was always the first Sunday in November, and it celebrated the repeal of the, there was this act when cars first came out, you had to have someone walk in front of the car to announce that the car was coming so that it wouldn't scare the horses that were driving people in carriages. So they call that the Brighton Run, and cars have to be completely vetted to show that they're accurate, real. They don't have you can have new old parts on it, like if you have a problem with a car. But Daddy and Mother went that first year and fell in love with that, fell in love with all the people they met. That they got into a whole circle over there of dear friends that lasted for life. And that started them on this tremendous journey. And Mother bought some antiques because she it was revenge for buying that car.
Yes.
And so then she said, well, I think we can just, they decided they were going to open a museum in Muskogee because he had so many cars. So we opened it on the side of the very first car auction we had in 64 out on Shawnee Bypass, and they called it Horseless Carriages. Then we changed the name later. But it was a fun, it was fun. And we had the cars. And then the gal who was helping us run it said, well, I think you can sell like postcards and knickknacks for the kids that come through. So then Mother said, well, as long as we're doing that, we might as well have a gift shop and an antique shop. So then we would buy this stuff and in Europe and bring it over every year. And we had this very big business of antiques, mostly English and European antiques.
Furniture?
Furniture, yeah. Silver, okay. Everything, paintings, whatever you can think of. We had it in that store, and then we had a little gift shop. So their curiosity took them on tangents.